I think last week we got to the bottom of Yud Amud Aleph. I think the last few lines. The Gemara has I got it at various things here. The Gemara goes me'inyan le'inyan. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Bereishis that says that Avraham Avinu ba'ita eshel be'er shava. Avraham Avinu planted an eshel. What exactly is an eshel? An eshel is a tree. So Pasuk B'Shari planted a tree. He planted a whole forest of trees. So the Gemara says, Malamed, Amar Shlokish Malamed, the Pasuk teaches us, Shosa Pardes, made a whole Pardes, Venatabal Komin, and we got them all types of trees, they bear different fruits, and that all of the guests who will eat by him will be able to enjoy. This is for the purpose of Achnosa Zarchmi, should have a variety of different fruits. Everyone should enjoy the fruit that he likes. So now the Gemara quotes, there's a Machlokes, that's where Shlokish says he's an Amora. So Shlokish, the Amora understands Eshel means a Pardes. The Gemara says the Tanoim had a machlokes how to translate the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Nechemya had were earlier generations Tanoim. They had a dispute. Chadama Pardes. One of them said like Rish Lakish means a Pardes with a variety of different types of trees. But Chadama Pundok, no, he made like a hotel, an inn that people should be able to eat there and sleep there and so on. So the Gemara asks, how does it fit into the verb Vayita? Bishleim Alamandi Ama Pardes. If he say that he planted many a variety of trees, to plant a tree, we understand the verb. He should say vayiven, that he built. He built a pundak. Why does it say that he planted? My vayita. And for the Gemara, no. In biblical Hebrew, the word vayita is sometimes used in connection with building. And for the Gemara, we have a pasuk in Tanakh and Daniel, vayita ahole padno, that he set up his tent over there. One Tana claims that it means that he built a big inn so that the travelers would be able to stay there. He built the whole building just for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Hachnasa Zorch. So the pasuk says, and he called out in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? So the pasuk pshat that he davened over there. So the Rish Lakish has a different pshat. Instead of Vayikra that he called out, he davened to Hashem, he got other people to pray to the Rebbe Shalom. How did he do that trick? Vayakri. Malamed shehikri Avraham Avinu l'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'fek aloy v'vishav. He got all of the travelers who stopped over by him, and he gave them food to eat. All of the orchim that he fulfilled Achnas HaSachim with, he got them all to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ketzad, how did he do that? L'achar shachal v'shasu, after he gave them to eat and to drink, so they wanted to express their gratitude, so they were thanking Avraham Avinu. So he told them, what do you mean? Don't thank me. It's not my Mishalim. The Rebbe Shalom, the God of the world, gave me the money, and I'm just using his money. It's not mine. You should give thanks and express your gratitude to the Rebbe Shalom, not to me. So that's, I don't know exactly how this fits in with the rest of the Agarta. We're talking about different things there. Okay. These are famous Midrashim. So now the Gemara goes back to, we had a previous discussion about Yehuda with Tamar. Vayireh Yehuda, vayachshaveh lezayna. Tamar married the son of Yehuda, and that son died, leaving no children, so she married the second son of Yehuda. So the pasuk is vayomis gamosa. He also died because of his sins. Apparently both sons sinned and they both died. So there was a younger son, Shelah, so she wanted to marry the younger son. It sounds from the psukim as if they're fulfilling the idea of Yibum, that when a husband dies, a couple is married, the husband dies, leaving no children, leaving no descendants. So the brother is supposed to marry. So the first son died, so the second son married her. The second son died, so the third son, Shelah, should have married her. Erbiyan were the first two sons. Shelah was the third son. So Yehuda said that Shelah is too young. We should wait till he grows up a little bit, and then she'll marry Shelah. So then the pasuk says she saw that Shelah was already getting older, and nevedim em shiduchim, and Yehuda is not contacting her, his former daughter-in-law Tamar, that she should she should marry Shelah. So she realized that when he said originally, a Yigdal Shelah B'nei, that we should wait, it was just a teretz. He doesn't want Tamar to marry the third son. But the Pasuk says that she camouflaged herself, she made believe that she was a prostitute, and she was there on the highway. By Yehuda sees her. Obligated to do what? Katlanis, yes. The Gemara has a whole discussion if a machlek is hatanoim. Yeah, we're machmer if two husbands die for unknown reasons. Right. I have a cousin who married a boy, a young boy, but he had a heart condition when she married him. So she had a few children from him, and then he died from his heart condition that he had before. The doctors knew in advance that he's not going to live to a normal age. Then she was an almana, she was living in Eretz Yisrael, so she married her teacher from Maimonides, from Boston, who had never been married before. He was something like 25 years older than her. So he died at a ripe old age. He died at 80. And my cousin was young. Then she finally married a normal guy who made a parnosa. The first husband learned in a kollel, and the second husband was retired already. And my uncle said, she finally married a guy, he's making a living. And he was a Rebbe in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. I said, there's no katlanis over there. We knew in advance the first husband was not going to live too long because he had a serious condition. The second husband was 25 years older than her.
The Torah tells us about them, why they died.
Yeah,
the Torah tells us,
yeah, but they didn't know why she died. That's a shaila. This whole idea of katlanis, is that a real din that you're not, she, no one is allowed to marry her because it's suffix sakana? Whoever marries her puts his life into sakana. So the Rambam writes that this is a bava maisa, and this is people are nervous about this. So the Gemara gives you all the guidelines for those who are nervous, but he says there's nothing to be nervous about. It doesn't correspond to anything. And he says that the Kes Mishnah quotes it, that the Rebbe Migash, the Rambam's father was a Talmud of the Rebbe Migash, who was a Talmud of the Rif. And he said the Rebbe Migash would always shtel a chuppah for a woman who was a katlanis, and there's nothing to worry about. So many poskim say that we always have that in the back of our minds, that today, in case a woman lost two husbands, according to the Rambam, the whole thing is baloney, so garnishment garnished. And if there's any tzad lahakel, according to the other Rishonim, so we treat it, we would go lahakel. If you know what the cause of the death was, you know what the cause of death was, so you can't say.
The woman.
Nothing. If you know, it has nothing to do with the woman. Yeah. So that's a shaila. Even if you assume that there is a real din of katlanis, you're not allowed to marry a woman who lost two husbands because maybe a sakana to you. You're putting your life in sakana. So that's a discussion. What about the Makam Mitzvah Sibum? Right. Nadi Yehuda has a whole discussion about that. We should really say that Shluchim Mitzvah Einim Nizokim. The whole story of Katlanis, even if you do hold like that Gemara, even if you really learn the Gemara, not like the Rama, that it's a real din of Katlanis, but the whole thing is only a far-fetched suffix Sakana. So if it's far-fetched suffix Sakana, then we should really say B'Makam Mitzvah Shluchim Mitzvah Einim Nizokim. If it would be Shchiach Hezekeh, if it's a real chashash, then you don't say shluchim mitzvah ein nizak. But the whole thing is such a far-fetched chashash that maybe by living with this woman, maybe she has a bad mazel men hashamayim, and they want she should always be a vista almana, or maybe there's some kind of a sickness that the husband's got that I'm going to get also. If I'll marry the woman, I may get the sickness also, some mysterious unknown sickness which may cause me to die. So b'maka mitzvah when atchoy shishidim. So basically, whenever there's any tzad l'hokel, so we always say, according to the Rambam, Mechlal the whole din doesn't exist, and according to the others, that tzad l'hokel is already mutter. Yeah. There's a machlekes Rashi and Tosis at the end of the second parak in Yevamos. Rashi learns that the din of katlanis doesn't only apply in a case where the woman became an almana twice, if the woman was divorced twice. Also, it's not a chashash of katlanis. It means the woman is huchzika to be a problematic woman. So don't marry her, you're going to have agmas nefesh. And Tosfos says there is no such thing. There is no such thing. If a woman is nizgarisha twice, that you shouldn't marry her a third time. It depends. If you see the woman as a meshugana, so don't marry her. But if you don't see anything wrong, seems to be a nice woman. So go out to another 5 dates, another 10 dates. Check it out. Make sure that she's not a meshugana. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah is machmano, like the Rashi, that if a woman is nizgarsha twice, so he's choshish for Rashi's opinion that you shouldn't. Yeah, that she's huchzika. I don't think so. No, no. Only.
I understood. So what worse comes to worse with the cross?
But he'll suffer agmas nefesh. So he's putting himself into a situation that he's going to cause himself agmas nefesh. Yeah, divorces are aggravating. So you're not supposed to put yourself into a situation where you're going to have aggravation. So the pasuk describes by Yerehu Yehuda, by Yachshever Lezayna, the Yehuda saw his daughter-in-law on the highway, and he spoke to her, negotiated with her. The Gemara says on Amud Aleph, he asked her, "Are you Jewish? Are you an Eishes Ish? Are you a Nida?" A whole conversation. Bateisha bePesach Inayim. She gave all the right answers, and then he thought that she was a prostitute.
So she's Nemon, she has Nemonis to say if she's a Nida, she's an Eishes
Ish. Yeah. We don't know if a woman comes, we don't know who she is. So when she was born, she was not married. So she's Becheskas Penuya until we know otherwise. So if a woman comes and says, "I'm single," so it's she's Nemenis. Even if she comes and she says, "I was once married and I got divorced," so that's called a Peshosa Peshehita. She didn't have to say that I got married. To the best of our knowledge, she was single. She's still single. So she says, "I'm single." She's Nemenis. Yeah.
So according to the Rambam, why did Yehuda allow her to marry his son?
No, he just didn't want. He just didn't want. He was afraid. The pasuk says he was afraid he'll also die. Maybe my son Shelah will also die like the other two sons. Not because of the dinner katlanis, he thought that there's some kind of a problem here.
There's a mitzvah here that he's overlooking, so there has to be some reason why he said no, and point to Rambam that
mm-hmm.
From here that there is a din of Katlanis in according to if the Torah mentions
Yehuda was concerned. Yehuda was concerned that she may be a Katlanis, and maybe that's an incorrect concern. Maybe you shouldn't have been concerned. The way the pasuk says the first two sons died because they sinned. So the third son, it depends on whether he's going to sin or he's going to act properly. If he'll sin, he may also die. But it has nothing to do with her. It's not because she's a katlanis. The pasuk says that Yehuda's concern was not correct, was not always gehal. They died because they sinned, not because there was something wrong with her. So the pasuk is strange. This is by Yerehu Yehuda v'achshever lezayna ki kisses upaneho. Because she covered her face, that's why he thought that she was a prostitute. So the one wants to know, Mishem de kisses upaneho, chashov lezayna, adarab, lezayna usually is half undressed. She's going to be so sneezing, she's going to cover her whole body and her face. She'd want to look for a customer, so she would probably display her beauty, display more than her face. How did he read the pasuk? So Amar Ablozer has a taich in the pasuk. She kisses her panel beis chamia when she was married to the first son of Yehuda. When she then he died, when she married the second son, so she was living with her father-in-law in the house. So he never knew what she looked like. This time she did expose her face. She was acting like a prostitute this time. Because she was exposing herself. He never knew how to recognize her because previously, years before, she was married to son number one and son number two. She was always so sneezdik. He never knew what his daughter-in-law's face looked like. He never knew what she looked like. Like now, you go to the chuppah, the kala wears a dektuch. It's so thick you can't see. So she always wore a dektuch all the time that she was in her in-law's home. So Yehuda never knew what she looked like. That's quite an interpretation. She kissed up on every base chamiya. She was so tzniyazdik when she was married to his sons. The Amar Shmuel Marachmen, Amar Rabbi Yonison, called Kalush, he's not a base chamiya. When a girl gets married, so when she's with her husband, that's one thing. Okay, but then when she's staying in her in-law's home, so she shouldn't walk around like if she would be staying in her own home. These are her in-laws there. They're not her parents, they're her in-laws. So she should dress in a very tzniyazdika way, and the reward will be, if she'll always be dressed properly, she will be zoicha v'yetz memen and melochim and avim. Such a kala, who acts very tzniyazdik, even when she's with her in-laws, when she's with her home, with her husband privately at home, that's a different story, but when she's still with the in-laws, she should act tzniyazdik. So the reward will be zoichen v'yetz memen and melochim and avim. How do you know me, Tomer? Minola mi Tomer, because Tomer, according to Rabbi Loza, Tomer kisses upon her bebeis chamiya. The years that she was married to Erbi Einan, she was very tzniyazdik, and she had descendants who were neviim and who were malachim. Why? Dechsiv Chazon Yeshaya ben Amotz. Whenever it says Chazon Anovi ben another name, so we assume the father and the son were both Navim. So Yeshaya Anovi was a Navi, and his father Amotz was also a Navi. And they were from Shevet Yehuda. How do you know that they were from Shevet Yehuda? Chazon Yeshaya ben Amotz, and Melochim I David. The Gemara is going to say, the next line, Amar Rav Levi, we have a tradition, Masoris Ba'adenim, I was saying, Amotz V'amatzia Achim Havu. Yeshaya ben Amotz, his father's name is Amotz. So he had a brother, Amatzia. Amatzia was one of the Malchim Beis David. So the whole Shevet Yehuda came from, the whole Malchus Beis David came from Tamar. So she had many Malachim, and the brother of the king Amatzia was Amotz. Amotz was the father of Yeshaya, he was a Navi, and his son Yeshaya was a Navi. So the Gemara attributes the fact that she had descendants who are Malachim and Neviim, Shaya and Amotz were Neviim, to the fact that she was a Tznua Bebeis Chamir. That's the reward for acting in a very Tznius Digger fashion. Then the Gemara comments on the psukim there in the parsha. It says, "He mutzes." They discovered that she became pregnant from Yehuda, and obviously she had been mizana, so they considered this a terrible avera. She wasn't an Eshes Ish, so what was the terrible avera? Like skukali yavam, they had a practice that we have a real din after Matan Torah, that if a woman is married, her husband dies, leaving no children, so she's supposed to have either yibam or chalitza. And she's not allowed to live with anybody else. She's not allowed to live with anybody else until she gets the chalitza, or she should marry the yavam. So here they were going to, the pasuk says, they should take her and burn her. So that's a shalom. What do you mean burn her? So Rashi and Chumash quotes the Medrash that we treated her as if she were, Rashi and the Gemara quotes it also, as if she were a bas koyin shezinsa. A bas koyin who's an eshes ish, who's mezana, so the Torah says the punishment is sreifa. A normal eshes ish is insa, the punishment is chenek. And by bas koyin she's insa, the punishment is mochomer, she gets sreifa. But that's only if she's an eshes ish. So if she would have been a regular Yisraelis, it would have been misa, and now it's elevated to a higher level of misa to sreifa. But over here, if the woman was a skuka leyavam, so the whole thing is strange. Why does she deserve misa bichlal? A yavam shezinsa doesn't get any misa. Shaila nigmar even whether you get malchus. The pasuk says la'si eshes hamis achutz alizar yavam yavala. So one opinion in Gemara is that it's not a lav. La'si eshes hamis achutz is not a lav. It's a statement that kiddushin are not tofsin. Machlokes in the Gemara. Do you translate the pasuk? The woman cannot, the yavama cannot have tvisas kiddushim with anybody. Loisi alotaheba havaya. She cannot have tvisas kiddushim, but there's no lav. If she lives with someone, she didn't violate a lav. She violated an essay. Yavama yavala, yavama v'loyacher. And we paskin know that there is a lav. Loisi eshens meisachutza. There is a lav and there is malchus. But it's a machlekes in the Gemara regarding the tvisas kiddushim. We treat it like a sfeikah adina. Whether Yivam Alashuk, whether Kiddushin Atopsin or not. Whether you say that Pshat in the Pasuk, Havaya, it just means that she's not allowed to marry someone else. So over here it's a problem. Why did they say Hotziyu of the Sisarev? Why were they prepared to give her the death penalty and to make it Noch Sreifa? So the Tur, in his commentary on Chumash, quotes a famous passage in the Tur. On the Chumash, on the regular Chumash, you only print the Gematrios from the Tur. Those are the funny shtickla. But the Torah Chumash has a regular commentary, like the Ramban, he discusses, Rashi, the Ramban, he discusses all the earlier commentaries on Chumash. So here he quotes from Rabbi Yudah Chosid, an interpretation, that Hotziyu B'Sisarev does mean we're going to burn her alive, we're not going to give her the death penalty, they're going to burn like in the Scarlet Letter, they're going to burn an A on her forehead to indicate that she was an adulteress, that we're going to burn something on her forehead, they're going to burn something so people should know that she was a Zayna. It doesn't mean that they wanted to put her to death. Problem is that it doesn't seem to correspond with the Gemara. The Gemara says later, the Gemara has 10 lines later, 20 lines later. Abshimim Bayichoy says, Noach lalodim shiap latzman letoch kibshan eish, al yalbim p'tech avera barabim. When she wanted to say that Yehu made her pregnant, so she didn't say Yehuda, my father-in-law. She said, Leisha she'ei lalo anochi haro. So she shows the chasamus and the psilim and the matah. that she took from Yehuda. So she says, if he'll admit that he's the one who made me pregnant, okay, and then he'll humiliate himself. But she didn't want to be mal penechaver barab. So the Gemara says she was prepared to lose her life. They were going to put her into a furnace to burn her alive. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk. Then the Gemara says that because Yehuda saved her life and she was pregnant with twins, Yehuda, by admitting that he had an affair with her, so that's why later in later generations the Rabbanu Shel Olam spared three of his descendants from the fire. That's Hanan, Mishael, Azariah, that they were going to be burnt in a burning furnace, and they were spared from the fire. So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is not like Rabbi Yudah Chassid. So that's what the Meforshim on the Gemara ask. Rabbi Yudah Chassid, quoted by the Torah, says, "Hatziyo b'sisarev," just to burn her, to make her ugly, that everyone should know that she was a Zayna, that she shouldn't continue in her practice of Znus.
Is that sort of Harosha, maybe?
Yeah, sounds like it was Harosha. I mean, maybe it was Harosha to give a death penalty.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. Harosha to burn a mark on her face, for sure that's Harosha, but even to give the death penalty also, we have such a din. Yeah, we have a din in Simon Beis and Choshe Mishpah. It says, Beis Nemakme Anshin Lohidosha. I remember last year when they had this, they said the biggest geneva in the history of the world, one person cheated billions and billions and billions of dollars. So I was asking lawyers, there's no special, the government, the court in America can't make a Hira Shah give the death penalty to such a person who pulled off the biggest geneva in the history of the world. So they told me that there's no such din in American law of Bez Makme Yonshin Shloimen Adin. They don't have such a thing. In Aloha you have it. In Aloha you have it. It says you don't even need Bez, and it says Zayin Tuvi Huir. The seven members of the board. Traditionally the Kehillahs always had seven members of the board. So the seven members of the board in Broyers, they have Zayin Tuvi Huir. They can give the death penalty if they decide that they want to. If someone acts improperly in a tremendous fashion, it says you don't need Sanhedrin, you don't need Smichin, you don't need Rabbanim. The Zayin Tuvi Huir can determine such a thing. They told me in American law there is no such thing. Do they have to?
One of the four mitzvahs bezdin?
No. Doesn't it? Fakirat. There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Beis on the Beis, where the Gemara says that in the days of the Amoroim there was a Baskoin Shizinsa, the Kifua Chavile Zmoros. And they burnt it to death. They had bundles of twigs, piles of wood, and they made a fire and they burnt it to death. So the Gemara says the Amora made two mistakes. One mistake, that's not the way you give Sreifa. Sreifa, you pour melted lead down the throat and it burns on the kishkas. So you're not supposed to burn them alive. And mistake number two is that we haven't been giving Mrs. Bezdin since 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. Churban Bayis Sheni in the year 70. So 40 years before, the Bezdin HaGadol left their office in the Lishkas HaGozis, and therefore the whole system of Sanhedrin collapsed. You only have a Sanhedrin of Chav Gimel of 23 Dayanim all over the world if it's connected to the Bezdin HaGadol of 71 in Yerushalayim. So since the whole system of Sanhedrin and Bezdin of three for Didi Maminis doesn't have to be linked up with the whole system of Sanhedrin Agdola. But Sanhedrin Ktana that's needed to give Din in the Fasha has to be linked up with the Sanhedrin Agdola in Yerushalayim. So once they left the Lishkas HaGozi, so they lost their status of Sanhedrin Agdola, so nobody can be done Din in the Fasha anyway. So this Amora lived years later, years after the Churban HaBayis. So the Gemara says he made two mistakes. That he administered the din in the Foshes after the Churban HaBayis. Most of the Tanaim lived after the Churban HaBayis. This was an Amora. And mistake number two was that's not the correct form of Sreifa. Sreifa, you're not supposed to burn the person alive. So there's a famous comment that Maharshal has, and that Gemara. In the back of the Gemara, you have the Marshal. In the bottom of the page, you have the Marshal. They were all the same time. Marshal, the Marshal, the Maram. In the 1500s. So the Marshal writes, I think one kasha faremf is the other. He's arguing with the Gemara. The Gemara says he made two mistakes. He says, no, he didn't make any mistakes. He says, he's arguing with the Gemara on history. He says, I don't think he made any mistake. He says, you have a right to argue with the Gemara in history. You're not allowed to argue with the Gemara in halacha. But he says, he thinks that historically he did make a mistake. He says, the din is a bezem akne yanshin shalayim and adin. If it's necessary, Bezna has the right to administer even din in the foshes, shaloi kedim. So he says, this Amora felt that there's too much preaches going on, and he wants to give the death penalty, and the girl happened to be a Bas Koyin, Shezinsa, she was an Eshesish, so he's going to give her something like Srefa. But to give her the real Srefa, the way it's supposed to be, the melted lead, that's against Halacha. When there's no Sanhedrin and Lishkas Hagosas, you're not supposed to give the real Misa. So to demonstrate that it's only Makom Yonshin Shloim and Adin, so you had to do something different, not the way it's supposed to be. If he would have lived his Mancha Beis HaMikdash HaKayam, before the last 40 years, he would have given Srefa the correct way. But because it was Bataris Makom Yonshin, that's why he Dafke did it the wrong way. That's what he writes. One Kashef Haremf is the other. He's arguing in history. He thinks that the two kashas chada b'chavata mitarza. It's interesting. There's a Tshuvas Maharam Lublin. The Maharam on the bottom of the Mashor has a collection of shadas and tshuvas. They're all about the same time. He writes the same pshat and the same gemara in a tshuva. He talks about bez makmiyam shishloim and adin. So he says they should do it differently. There's such a ravid also. The ravid says what about bezman hazeh, the din of oynis and mefate moitzi shema? These are knosses. If a man rapes a girl, so he has to pay chamishim shekel kes. If a man is moitzi shemra on his wife, he says the wife was in, so he has to pay mea shekel kesef. So bizman hazeh, we don't have any smuchim, so it can't be done any dinik nosas bizman hazeh. So the Ravid quotes from the Tshuvas HaGoyim. This is the first, you have the Ravid printed on the bottom of the riff. So the first comment that the Ravid makes is this, in the fourth perek in Ksubis, the riff is writing a little bit about oynis and mefata moitzi shema. The whole thing is irrelevant bizman hazeh. We're not done dinik nosas bizman hazeh because no one has any real smicha. So the Ravid writes a little bit relevant it is, because bez the makom yanshin shleim and adin. If someone is ma'anis and mefata moitzi shemra, the bezman should really bop him over the head. They should make him pay something. They should give it to him. But he says they shouldn't make him pay chamishim shekel kesef, mea shekel kesef. That's outright against the din because we don't have smuchim. They should make him pay more or less. More or less is okay.
Different amount.
And the Ramon Choshen Mishpat writes like that. When he quotes also, doesn't quote the Ravi, probably didn't have the Ravi. Ravi is printed in the Vilna Shas, probably for the first time. He quotes the Tshuvas HaGoyim that the Ravi is quoting from. That Bezdin has a right to say the girl shouldn't be Mochel him. He babbled the girl, he attacked the girl. He's Mabaz's wife, Moitzi Shem on the wife. So the Bezdin should tell her, don't be Mochel him, until he pays you 150 shkolim, until he pays you 75 shkolim. But to say exactly what the din HaTorah is, that's not right, because we don't have smuchim as man hazeh. So bez makman shishloim and adin, it should be nikar, that it's not the correct din. And then the Maharam Lublin in the Tshuva writes the Taich in this Gemara, in Sanhedrin Nun Beis, the same as the Marshal writes, that the one kasha for emph is the other, by the Bas Koyin Shezinsa. Anyway, the Gemara seems to assume Hotziu v'sisa reif.
Marvin of human body, but they're a cloud. You know, we never kept the body out. We always buried them by the way. So how can you burn a body?
Onto varfanat pachad on everybody else. If you have a door where there's a pritzis and you think that it'll help, if you don't think it's going to help, then you don't do it. If it's letzorach hashol, haru hashol, the migdam milsi, you can violate the isurim. We usually assume. Chum have no right to violate an aver bikumbi yasei. That's if they want to change the din l'doris. They're going to say everyone's allowed to drive to shul on Shabbos, nor to participate in davening. So to say l'doris, everyone's allowed to that, they don't have the power. That's we say the conservative and the reform balabatim, they give more authority to their rabbis. The Orthodox, we don't give. Our rabbis don't have so much authority like the reform and the conservative. But Lohiru Asher, the Migdam Milsi, you do have the right. Let's say an Orthodox rabbi would say, everyone has to drive to Shul today because he thinks he's going to accomplish something about it. So Lohiru Asher, the Migdam Milsi, then you are allowed to Yishkach Laka Bikum Yaseh. So to burn a body, to burn a person, even if the person is not Chayv Misa at all, to burn a person to death is Ritzicha. And it's a tremendous suffering. So if they feel that they'll accomplish something gewaldig, then you're allowed to. If you're not convinced that you're going to accomplish
it. Jury trial. Is there enough community whether it's a goy? If let's say the Paschal is the question, you should have Misa or a Jew? Or is there enough community? Dina Malchus and Dina applies no matter Jew or non-Jew?
If the Jew violated, it says in the Rishonim like this, if the Jew violated a law on our books, if on our books he didn't do anything wrong, let's say he participated in a demonstration against the Arabs, peaceful demonstration. Then the government puts him in jail because he's Mavaza the Arabs. So if on our books he didn't violate any Aveira at all, then we're not allowed to participate in such a jury that we should give him a punishment. We have to say that we can't participate. It's against my religion. I can't. But if he did violate some Aveira, except in our religion you don't give the death penalty. But the Goyish government has a right to give. Let's say he gamven. In our religion, you don't give the death penalty for Geneven. Let's say the Nochrim will give the death penalty. So the Gemara says that Ben Noach is Nereg al Pachas Meshav Puta. Ben Noach is Chai Misa for Geneva. So the Goyish government has the right to give the death penalty if it's fair. If it's only against the Jews, if they're only singling out one nationality, they're only giving this punishment only to the Schwarze, or only to the Puerto Ricans, or only to the Jews. And if it would have been Avais and Nachri, they wouldn't give it. So then it's pashut not fair. So you're not allowed to participate in such a jury. But if you have the impression that the government is a fair government, it's just, and they would treat everybody like that. So you can even participate in a jury where they're going to give the death penalty to a Jew for Geneva if they give the death penalty for Nachrim also for doing a Geneva. The government has a right to give the death penalty. So the Gemara is wondering on the Loshen HaPasuk, it doesn't read straight. It says, Himut says, she was taken out from a home, the police took her, and they were going to put her into the furnace to burn it to death. And then she says, L'mi asher yalala anochi hara. The man who made me pregnant is the one who gave me the chasamis and the psilim and the mate. And she didn't want to say who it was. So why does it say Himut says? It sounds like a Loshen Metzia to find. It should say he meet toitzeis meboile. So it should really read in the pasuk differently. She was being removed from her home. The verb, this form of the mutzei, sounds like she was discovered. It doesn't mean she was discovered. She was found. It should say she was being taken out. He meet toitzeis meboile. He forced her to leave her home. Amar Rab Loza, he has an interpretation. Just like Rab Loza had the interpretation on kikisus apaneops, not the pashup shot. Pashup shot. He didn't see her face. He said, so how does she look like a Zaina if she's covering up her face? She probably exposed her face. So he's not kisses upon her, beis chamiya. He never knew what she looked like, because when she was married to the sons, she never exposed the face. He also has a taich. He would say, means, Omer Ablozer a taich. Lacha shenimtso simoneho, she said, the man who made me pregnant, I'm not going to say who he is, but he's the one who gave me the chasamis and the psil and the mamata. So if she'll produce this, she produced it, so then they'll ask in public, who is the one who gave it, who does this belong to? And then Yehuda will admit he's the one, and then they won't give her the death penalty. So the Gemara says, Samuel, Rashi says, Samuel is a malach, he's the malach amamuna on the nation, on a goyish nation. On Edom, I think Rashi says. Sar Shel Edom. So it's in his interest that Thomas should die, so David HaMelech will not be born. So the Malchus Beis David will not come out of him, because David and the Malchus Beis David is going to wipe out Edom. They're going to fight against these terrorists. So the Samuel is the Sar Shel Edom, Bo Samuel, Verichkon. So he somehow hid the Simonim. He saw to it that they should get lost, so her life should not be spared. And then Bo Gabriel, Gabriel is a good angel, he's on our side. Bo Gabriel the Kirvon, Hanan Dechsiv, and that's the Pshat Himut says, the Simonim were rediscovered. She produced the Simonim, she said, Lemi Asher Lalo, Anochi Haro, Sepis, for a moment or two, the Simonim got lost. When she gave it to the police, Samuel, the bad Malach, succeeded in hiding the Simonim, so she shouldn't get off the hook, and they should give her the death penalty, and David HaMelech will not be descended from her. So then Gabriel came, and Himut says, the Simonim reappeared. They were noticed again. Ataych in the posuk.
It's very high drama about Yehuda, but the fact that Yehuda did it, why did that save her from the death penalty?
Yeah, how did that save her from the death penalty? So that's what the Ramban HaChumash says. That apparently, Koyde Matan Torah, the practice by the Yisum HaSoylem was that they had an institution of Yibum, but by them it wasn't only by the brother, it was whoever is the closest relative. So here, where Yehuda didn't give her over to marry Shelah, the next son, so this constituted Yibum, that she married Yehuda himself. That's how the Ramban HaChumash says. The Gemara is going to say later that he lived with her after. Where is it? A little later on the daf. Here, by the right before the very wide line. Right before the very, it says where it says Bereishis Lamed Ches, I think. So it says V'lo Yosafoid Ledato. How do you translate V'lo Yosafoid Ledato? He didn't live with her again. That one time he thought she was a prostitute, but thereafter he discovered that this is his daughter-in-law. He didn't live with her again. His father-in-law is not going to live with his daughter-in-law. After Matan Torah, that's going to be an Isakaris. His father-in-law marries Kalosa. So the Amora says, no, Pshat is Fakered. He continued to live with her. So over there is also a question. Over also a question, how do you translate? So the Gemara here quotes here on this puzzle. Yes, about Ledaito, the Gemara says, "Omer Shmuel Sova Chamur de Rab Shmuel Barami Mishmei de Rab Shmuel Barami." The father-in-law's name was Shmuel, and the son-in-law's name was Shmuel. That's what the Achrenim say. It's against the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. Rabbi Yehuda Chosid says that you shouldn't marry a girl whose father has the same name as you. Like Rabbi Moshe Feinstein had two sons-in-law named Moshe, Rabbi Moshe Tenor, Rabbi Moshe Shizkan. So the Rav Moshe wasn't concerned about.
Rav Moshe, right?
Yeah, each one had a second name. So even according to those who are concerned about the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, each one had another name, so it's not a problem. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this, whether you have to be concerned about marrying a girl whose father's same name as yours. Rav Moshe quotes the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim. The Gemara in Arvei Pesachim talks about zugos. Gemara says you shouldn't drink 2 cups of tea. Either 1 cup or 3 cups or 5 cups. You shouldn't drink 2 cups, 4 cups, 6 cups. That's somehow unhealthy. The shadim are going to start up with you. You shouldn't marry 2 wives. Either 1 wife or 3 wives or 5 wives. You shouldn't marry 2 wives or 4 wives or 6 wives. You shouldn't do anything double portion. You should have either 3 portions or 5 portions or 1 portion. You shouldn't have a double portion. So there are some people who are concerned about Zugas, Afilu Bizman Hazeh, because the Gemara quotes this, the Zugas and the Shadim are going to start up with you. Then the Gemara says, Mandala Kapit Loi Kabdira, the Shadim only start up if you're afraid. If you're not nervous, then the Shadim are not going to start up. So Moshe says he thinks the same is over here by the names. If you don't give a hang, if it absolutely doesn't bother you at all that your son-in-law has the same name as you, so garnish mit garnish. If it doesn't bother you, so the shadim are not going to start up with you.
It's like by a halom, maybe?
Also, yeah, that if a person has a scary dream, very frightening dream, so if he wakes up in the morning, he's all petrified, that he's mechuyif to fast, tainas halom, to break the bad effect of the dream. But if he wakes up and he laughs the whole thing off, he thinks it's a dream, so garnish mit garnish, then he's not mechuyif to fast tainas chalom. It depends whether he takes it seriously.
So, couldn't they ever run the malachim like some elk could do things of their own volition? A malach like some elk could do things of his own volition, that's a malach that would be sent.
Apparently, there are different kinds of malachim. Some of them have bechira chavshis, and some of them are only mamish shluchim who just do what they're sent to do. So the Gemara presents it that these malachim, this guy Samuel, he had bechira chavshis, or maybe this is his job. Maybe he was appointed to always do nasty things to the Bnei Yisrael. So he does what he's appointed to do.
You see, in Eov, the Satan is.
Yeah, he's acting up. Yeah. So the Mefarshim and the Gemara discuss it. How can it be that Shmuel has a son-in-law by the name of Shmuel? So some say his name was Shmuel Sova. So you have a person, his name is Alter. When he was born, they gave him a name Alter. So some say his name was Shmuel Sova. Not that Shmuel the older. Not a description of Shmuel. His name, he had two names. Shmuel Sova, like Rabbi Moshe's son-in-law had Moshe David and Elio Moshe. So each one had two names. So some of the Sfarim on the Gemara write, maybe his name was Shmuel Sova, Shmuel Alter. So if the father-in-law had two names and the son-in-law only had one name, then even the Tzavos Rabbi Rochasid doesn't pose a problem. In the Svarim they quote that the Vad Arba Rotzis, every so often the Rabbanim from Poland and Poland Cotton and whatever, the four countries, I forgot already what the Arba Rotzis are. So they were gathered together to discuss issues that are in the guest. On one occasion they were discussing the Tzavos Rabbi Rochasid, but that only applies to the descendants of Rabbi Rochasid. The Tzavos usually for your descendants, or it applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So this is in the Tzavos Rabbi Rochasid, not to marry a girl with the same name as the Mishuloshim, same name as the mother-in-law, and the same name as her mother-in-law, if it's 3 generations in a row. you shouldn't marry, or not to marry, a boy should marry a girl whose father has the same name. So they were discussing whether Tzavos Shabino Chassid applies to everybody or only to the descendants. So they write in the Torah that the Mashiach got up and he said, I am a descendant of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid left the Tzavos, he shouldn't name any of his descendants, not Shmuel and not Eliezer. My name is Shmuel Eliezer, the Mashiach. He said, the descendants don't follow the Tzavos Shabino Chassid. What are you tiltling? Whether only the descendants of the strangers, the descendants also don't follow Tzavos Shabino Chassid.
I thought the Aleph was for Adel, his mother's name.
That's another. He took on a Shviga's name because she supported his yeshiva. Yeah. But his name I have on the first page, I think, Shmuel Eliezer Edlus. Edlus, that's his name. Yeah. So here, the Gemara, this...
There are certain things that are brought down, on Rosh Chodesh,
Shabbos. Yeah, I don't observe that.
Yeah.
Like all the other things in the Sefer Chassidim.
The whole purpose of that is because you're not supposed to call your father by his first name, and if he's in the house,
Okay.
That was, I heard that was the reason.
Yeah, it's a good reason. But the shaila is, you hold up on a shidduch because the name is diminished. That's the shaila. Now people get so touchy. They're going to get. They want so many people to marry. The pool of possible shidduchim is not so big because you're not going to marry a chassidish guy with long payas. You're not going to marry a yeke. You're not going to marry a galutianim. Has to be someone with the same background. So to begin with, it's already a small pool, and then you have to cut out anyone who has the same name as the father-in-law.
Actually, but did he have it up to my son's name the same as his father-in-law? And my son has two names, so he would have been Machbed. He said he would have been Machbed if he just knew exactly one name.
Okay. So the Gemara here, the father-in-law quotes from his son-in-law. They got along apparently. Father-in-law quotes from his son-in-law that the pasuk. I did skip, I'm going to come back, but I'm going to cover the Gemara. So the father-in-law here, right before the very wide lines. So Shmuel, the father-in-law quotes from the son-in-law Shmuel. It's not the Shmuel that we know, Rabbi Shmuel. There's a different Shmuel. Shmuel Sova, different Shmuel. So he quotes from his son-in-law. The question is, how do you translate the pasuk? After Yehuda found out the truth, that this was his daughter-in-law, so it says, V'lo Yosef oid ledato. So does it mean that he continued to live with her? He took her for his wife? Or no, he did not live with her. Once he discovers that this is his daughter, he's not going to live with her. That's what I would have thought. Koidim Matan Torah, Avram, and Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Shvatim, they probably volunteered to the best of their ability not to violate the arayas that are going to be given by the Torah later. So he says, well, Yosef Ledaita means, Leposak Mimenu. He still continued to live with her. So, Hayitachin, why does he still continue to live with her? What happened? Koidim Matan Torah, they should volunteer as an Enim Mitzvah V'yose to observe the Dinim. So that's what they say. According to the Ramban, we understand that the Ramban says on Chumash that was the practice in that area in the world, in the Middle East, that they used to have something along the lines of Yibum, not restricted only to the brother, the closest of kin. So Faket, when he found out this was his daughter-in-law Tamar, so he was happy. That was the mitzvah of Yibum. At that time, that was the Kefi Minig Hamdina, that was considered the mitzvah of Yibum. So the Gemara earlier, where we left off, the Gemara says that's why it saved her life. When Yehuda admitted that he was the one who made her pregnant, and then, oh, that's okay. That was a fulfillment of the minig amokim that constitutes evil. So then the Gemara says, Bo Gavriel Bekirvon. Samuel wanted to see to it that David HaMelech should not be born, that Thomas should die, she won't have any children, and they was so Edom won't have any trouble from David HaMelech. So he came and he caused the simonim. The simonim is the chasemis and the psilim and the mata. He caused it to get lost. And all of a sudden, the himut says, it was rediscovered. Gabriel caused that the simonim should be rediscovered with kirvon. He exposed the simonim and that's how she was saved. Behind the dichsiv, and that's the taich and the posik in tilim, a difficult posik. What does it mean? Rechoikim, yoineselim, has such a difficult posik. Rabbi Yechon has a comment on that pasuk. Mishosh and Israchko Simoneo, when Samuel succeeded in somehow causing the three Simonim, the Chosemis and the Psilim and the Mata, to disappear, Nasis Kiyoni Elem, so she didn't know what to say. They were going to take it to the oven. They were going to burn her alive. So then what happened was, the David Michtam, The end of the story was that David was born because Bo Gavriel, the Kirvon, Gavriel came and he saved the day. So that's what the Pasuk has there. Yoines Elam Rechoikim, because Samuel was Merachek, the Simonim, and she, Tamar, became like an Elam, a person who can't speak. She had nothing to say because she didn't want to identify that it was Yudah. She didn't want to be Malm Penechaver Barabim. So the end of the story was that David HaMelech was born, and David was a michtam. What does the word michtam mean? It's a difficult, the way we're saying now. What does michtam mean? Shehoya mach v'tam l'chol dover. No. Shehoya mach v'tam l'chol. Shehoya mach v'tam l'chol. He was easygoing and he was humble to all. Even though he was a melech, he was easygoing and his power didn't corrupt him and it didn't go to his head. And even after he was appointed king, he was very decent to everybody. Davar Acher, another suggestion, another interpretation of the word michtam, moch v'tam. What does it mean, moch v'tam? Not moch v'tam, humble and nice to everybody, but rather, shehoisa makosa tama, means that he didn't have a bris milah. Shenoyla kishuhu mohu. Every Jewish baby has surgery, 8 days after he's born, he has a bris milah. And Davar HaMelech had Makosai Tama, the makah that he should have had, never happened. They never did a bris milah on him. There's a famous Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara says that David HaMelech always was surrounded with mitzvahs. And then when he went to the bathhouse, he didn't take off his clothes, and he felt better. Doesn't have any mitzvah. Hatnish can tefillin, hatnish can tzitzis. So then he saw he has the bris milah, so he was happy he has the bris milah. So what do you mean if he say he was noilad mo? So he didn't have any bris milah. So some say even one who's Noel Mol should have Hatofas Dambris. Hatofas Dambris is deraisa, the Rabbanon, questionable. So the Menhas Chinuch says that it's deraisa. So he reminded himself that when he was a little baby, he had Hatofas Dambris. Others say no. Even if you hold that a Noel Mohul does need a Hatofas Dambris, but he didn't have an Arlo. He saw that he didn't have an Arlo. So that's also, even though no mitzvah was performed on him, even if one should assume that a Noel Mohul, our practice is that a baby who was born without an orla, so you do atavas dambris b'li bracha, without a bracha, because it's a shaila, it's a suffik orla kvusha, it's not a vader orla kvusha, it's a suffik orla kvusha, so you do without a bracha. So that's what some consider that Gemara Menoch is a contradiction to this Gemara, and some say it's not. No, if a ger already had circumcision from before, if he already had circumcision, so it's a machlokes satanoim, whether he needs atavas dambris, and a machlokes and taisvis out of paskin, so we would do atavas dambris also b'li bracha. B'li bracha, yeah.
No, you say,
if a ger has an orla, so the Moel says the bracha Hashem Shem Son of Lomalo Sager. But if he already had a circumcision as a non-Jew, so you just do Atavas Dambris and you don't say a bracha because it's a machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes and tesis whether you need Atavas Dambris. If you don't need it, so you don't say a bracha. So you do misafik and you don't say a bracha. Safik bracha is lahokel. So the Gemara has the two shades of interpretation on Michtam LeDavid. The Gemara is interpreting the opening line and that kapitel until Michtam LeDavid, that David's life was saved because Tamar didn't lose her life, so Mimele she had descendants and David was born. And Michtam either means he was Moch V'tam Lakol, he was easygoing and he was kind to everybody, or even after he became king, it didn't go to his head, or it means Makosai Tama, that he was Nolad Mo. Davrach, another interpretation, Michtam, that he was easygoing, Kishem Shebe Katnusa, just like before he became king. Hiktin atzma etzel mishagod l'meno l'ilma Torah, just like before he became king, he went to learn by people who had what to teach him, and he was respectful. Kach begadlusa, after he became king, also he was respectful to others who taught him Torah. In other words, his position didn't go to his head, the power didn't corrupt him, and he remained a normal person. Not too many people remain normal after they're given power and authority.
Where does that come from? The third part.
Mochvetam, also mochvetam, humble and kind to everyone, and it didn't change. from before his appointment to king and after, he didn't change. Yeah. Then he was commenting on that parsha by Tamar. He shilchel chamia lemo. She sent a message to her father-in-law. Lisha she'elo anochi hara. I became pregnant to the man who had the chasamis and the psilim and matah. Frag the more. Why is she playing games? Why didn't she say beferish? You were the one who made me pregnant. The tamalei meimer. Why didn't she say off in a raid that she's pregnant from her father-in-law? That would be the end of the story. Three different versions who said it, but bottom line, the tradition has it, this is what she said: it's preferable that a person should give up his own life, you shouldn't cause someone else humiliation. That's what happened over here. She didn't want to say that she's pregnant from Yehuda. If she would have said that, that would be the end of the story. She didn't want to embarrass him, she didn't want to humiliate him, so she was prepared to lose her life. So they have it sealed in the little letter Aleph. Little letter Aleph tells you, look in the Rambam, it's in the Rambam. It's not in the Rambam. The Rambam says, the Rambam doesn't say this. The Rambam says, but the Rambam doesn't quote this Gemara anywhere. The Rambam doesn't quote that Gemara. The Achronim point that. It's not in that Rambam, it's not in any Rambam. The Rambam seems to have understood the Gemara that it's in Midas Chasidus. Because the top Tosfos has a famous kasha, the Gemara says there's a din that pikuach nefesh is decha all averus in the Torah except for avodah zarah, gilui arayis and shvichas damim. So he is telling me that pikuach nefesh to save my life is not decha the aver of mal penecha verbera. So nish avodah zarah, so nish gilui arayis, so nish shvichas damim. So why do you say faket? Why do you say yehorig v'yav? So apparently the Rambam held that it's Amidas Chasidus. The Rambam usually holds you're not allowed to prove Amidas Chasidus. Let's say Anochi holds a gun and he says he's going to shoot me unless I eat the chazer. So the Rambam says Pekuach Nefesh is Doicha the Yisr Chazer, eat the chazer. And if you want to prove Amidas Chasidus, so the Rambam says Harezim is Chai Benafsho. It's considered as if you committed suicide. There's no room for Amidas Chasidus over here. But one, by the Kes Mishnah, quotes the Nebuki Yosef and Sanhedrin. On the Rambam Menuchas, he said, once in a while there is room for Midas Chasidus. So apparently over here, the Rambam must have learned the Gemara, this constitutes a Midas Chasidus. To give up one's life, not to be Mal Penech Haver Baram. The Rabbeinu Yoina also is bothered with Tosfos Kasha. Rabbeinu Yoina and the Shari Tshuva, usually Rabbeinu Yoina and Shari Tshuva just has Dibri Musa, but every so often he has a halachic statement. So over here he has halacha. So the Rabbeinu Yoina says that not only do we apply Yehorig Val Yava to the actual Gimel Averus Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayis Shvichas Damim, even to Abizrahu, even to Yisurim that are related to them. So since the Gemara says that a Malbim Penech Avera Barabim, you cause a person to turn white, the blood circulation is what keeps people alive. When the blood stops circulating, that person is dead. So when you humiliate a person, so his face turns white. So that's an abizrayho of shvichas damim. It's not actual ritzicha, it's an abizrayho of shvichas damim. So the Rabbeinu Yonah holds, not only do you apply yoharg val yaver to the actual gimel averus achamuris, even to averus that are related to the gimel averus. That's a big machlokes and rishonim. Mashal, if that's true or not, in Shulchan Aruch, it's a steer between one siman and the other. That's a shaila and din, how we paskin. Take for example, there was the story that was printed in a newspaper a girl years ago, over 40 years ago. He was the same age as me. There was a boy, he learned in YU, then he went to Lakewood, took a girl out on a date. He didn't marry that girl. He took a girl out on a date, and then they went on a Ferris wheel. And then it was 6 o'clock. So the guy who was running the Ferris wheel went home for the day. He turned off the electricity and went home for the day. And they were screaming. They were stuck on top. And they were screaming, "Let us off! Let us off!" He didn't hear, and he went home. So the girl told the boy, "I'm not allowed to stay here. It's yichud." So he said, "What are you crazy? You have no prayer. You're gonna get killed." So she said, "No, it's yehorig bal yaver. She's not allowed to stay." So he said, "I'm not gonna jump. Do whatever you want." So the girl started climbing down and she fell and she got injured. So she sued the company. That is their fault. So they told them, "Mishugana, who told you to climb down? You should have stayed there." So she said, "My religion requires of me that I have to climb down." So they had a court case. So the judge, Gazak, if they have a rabbi who's going to testify that according to her religion, The judge knew that they're different. There's Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, Hasidish, and this Chassid, not Chassid, and this Rebbe, that Rebbe. So he said, the judge of Gezocht, if her Rebbe will say that it's Yehorg Valyavar, so then the company is going to be held responsible. So she got a rabbi to say, to testify. It was written up in a legal journal 45 years ago. The Maaseh said he didn't marry that girl. The guy already passed away. He married someone else and he got divorced and he married a second time.
Actually, my classmate, not yours.
Oh, okay. But I remember him from the yeshiva. So that's a shaila. Yichud is not Gilui Arayis. Yichud is a nisa that's related to Gilui Arayis. So that's a question. There's a question whether he was taking the girl out on a date. So she wasn't an Eishes Ish. Just that she hadn't gone to mikveh, she was a nida. So that's another machlokes harishonim, where they say Yehorg Valyava by a nida. Maybe Boala nida is a nisa kares. Not everything that's an Issa Karis is called Gili Arayis. Eating Chametz on Pesach as Karis, eating on Yom Kippur is Karis, but it's not Gili Arayis. So just because Boal Anida has Karis doesn't necessarily mean that it's Gili Arayis. Maybe it's an Issa Bia that's very Chomer, but it's not called Gili Arayis. Let's say a Kohen marries a Grusha, a Kohen marries a Zoyna. That's an Issa Bia, that's not Gili Arayis. So usually we assume whatever has Karis is Gili Arayis, but it's not necessarily so. Could be it's only relations, only relatives. So Nida is a machloik is the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam writes in the Sefer Yosher, the Feirish, that Nida is not Gilui Arayis and it's not Yehorg Val Yavar. Kiddushin is Chal, and the blood is not a Mamzer, right? So that's a question, it's strange. Kiddushin is Chal on a Nida, if the girl, they have a Chupas Nida, so Kiddushin is Chal. Maybe that shows that it's not Gilui Arayis. No, the Rambam says Kiddushin atopsis, but the chuppah is not a complete nisuin. The Kiddushin is chal, but the nisuin is going to be incomplete. So they should repeat the nisuin again after she goes to the mikveh, right? So that's one question, whether nida is called Gilui Arayis or not. On Shulchan Aruch, the opinion, they don't quote this Rabbeinu Tam. Shulchan Aruch, they only quote the Rambam and the Ramban and the Tshuva, quoted Tshuva and Ramban, that nida is an erva, and you should say Yehorig Val Yavah.
It also says Taweva there.
But the question is, that Yichud is not Gilui Arayis. Yichud is an Issa that's connected with Gilui Arayis. So that's called Abizrayu. The other Issa that it related to the Iker Issa. So that's a big machlokes. The Gemara says, Imsochem Adav Chafei, Bakol Misrapin Chutz Meyatze Asherah. Let's say a person is deathly sick and the doctor says he has to eat chazer in order to save his life. So pikuach nefesh is doicha, so eat a chazer. A lot of our best friends eat on Yom Kippur. The doctor says it has sofik sakon. If he's going to fast on Yom Kippur, he may die. So the din is that pikuach nefesh is doicha Yom Kippur, you're allowed to eat. So you have to drive to the hospital on Shabbos, the doctor should take care of something. So bakol misrapin, you're allowed to violate all the laws of the Torah. Chutz me atzei asherah. You're not allowed to use Atze Asherah. Asherah is an Avodah Zorah tree. You're not allowed to get Hanoah from Atze Asherah even to save your life. So the question is, why? That's Avodah Zorah. Getting Hanoah from Avodah Zorah is not worshipping Avodah Zorah. It's a different Issa. So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. What does that Gemara mean? So Tosis has the two pshat, and one pshat is, yeah, that's Abizrayu of Avodah Zorah. Not only do you say Yehorg Val Yavar actually worshipping Avodah Zorah, even say the only way to save my life is to worship Avodah Zorah, so you're not allowed to. Even to get Hanoah from Atze Asherah. Let's say there's a canoe. I have to run away from the Nazis to save my life, and I need a paddle to get across the river to the other side to save my life. The only thing I can use for a paddle is Atze Asherah. So I'm getting Hanoah from Avodah Zorah, but it's not a violation of Avodah Zorah. I'm not worshipping the Avodah Zorah. So one opinion in Tosis is that that's Abizrayu of Avodah Zorah, and you say Yehorg Val Yavar over there also. The other opinion in Tosis is no, there's no such thing as Abizrayu, only actual Avodah Zorah. But here we're talking about a case like this. There's a Goyish doctor, and the doctor says you should eat the berries from this bush, or eat the apples from this tree, and you'll get healthy. Why? Because the apples contain... vitamins that you need. So instead of saying the apples contain vitamins, he says, because this tree is an Avodah Zorah tree, and whoever eats the apples from this tree gets automatically healthy. So if you're going to eat the apples, the real reason why you're getting better is because it has vitamins, minerals, whatever, it has a health nutritional value. But because the doctor said, if you eat it, since this is an Avodah Zarah tree, this is the deity himself. So if you're going to eat the apples from the tree, you'll get better. So it looks as if you're worshipping Avodah Zarah. So it's a marisayin of Avodah Zarah, but that's only Abizrayu, but that's Mochomer. Let's say a guy holds a gun to my head and says, either you bow down to this statue, or I'm going to shoot you. So if I bow down and I don't believe in my heart that it's an Avodah Zarah, so the Gemara says, I'm not actually Avodah Zarah. I'm violating marisayin of Avodah Zarah. But that's the chalam of the din. That's always the din of Yehorek Bal Yavar. You're not allowed to do a marisayin of Avodah Zarah. So that, Abizrayu, that everybody agrees. You're not allowed to look as if you're worshipping Avodah Zarah. The Nochri will be satisfied. He thinks he worshipped Avodah Zarah. According to the Jewish law, I didn't worship Avodah Zarah because I was never Makabla Beloah. I didn't accept it as a deity. So that kind of Abizrayu, everybody agrees. The Machlokes and the Rishonim is, what about Atzei Asherah? I'm just going to get Hanoah from Atzei Asherah to paddle to the other side of the river. I'm going to float on the Atzei Asherah, the Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to float on it in order to save my life. So it's not even a Marisayin of Avodah Zarah. But it's an issue that's connected to Avodah Zarah.
Is that Bizrahu, you would be Yarigol
Yavah? That's the Machlokes, two opinions in Tosafot. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the both opinions in two different simonim. The Shach points it out. There's a contradiction, one simon to the other. So it's a Sveiket Adida, whether we paskin from Abizrahu. So the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva holds from this din of Abizrahu. So he says, the reason why the Gemara and Sanhedrin never mentioned Yehorek Val Yavar by Mal B'nei Chaver Barabim, because Mal B'nei Chaver Barabim is an Abizrahu of Ritzicha, because the Gemara says in the end of Perek HaZov, if you humiliate, you humiliate someone, so the blood circulation will drop and his face is going to turn white. In a certain sense, that's a form of Shvichas Domim. So outright L'Asir Tzach it isn't. You can call it an Abizrahu of L'Asir Tzach. It's under the heading of L'Asir Tzach. So Rabbeinu Yonah holds that Abizrahus of L'Asir Tzach are also Yehorek Val Yavar. The Tosis apparently holds that it's not. This Tosis apparently doesn't believe in Abizrayus. So that's why they're bothered with the Kasha. How come the Gemara doesn't mention the fourth Aveira of Mal B'nei Chaver Barabim, that the din is that Yehorek Val Yavar? So Tosis says the Gemara there only mentions the Aveiras of Avodah Zarah, Gelevash, Chazdamah, which are explicit in the Chumash. So since Mal B'nei Chaver Barabim is not explicit, so that's why they didn't mention it. But in Echanami, the din is that there are four Averis that you say Yehorek Val Yavar. The fourth Aver is Mal B'nei Chaver Barabim. Okay. And the Rambam does not quote it. The Brisker Rav says like this, but Achrayim, before the Brisker Rav, they say the Rambam understood that this is an agarata, either not to be taken seriously, just to emphasize, to exaggerate the seriousness of the Aver of Mal B'nei Chaver Barabim, or maybe the Rambam understood that it's a midas chasidus, that in rare cases the Rambam would agree that it's permissible if one so chooses to give up his life, even though strictly speaking you're not mechuyev to. Then the Gemara continues to comment, when Tomar said, the man with whom I had an affair is the one who gave me the chasemis and the psilim and the mate, so she said, hakeno, recognize lemia chasemis apsilim, who does it belong to? So she used the exact same expression, hakeno, that was used earlier when they sold Yosef and they took the Xenus Pasim and they dipped it in blood and they gave it to the father. So they said to the father, Hakano, Aksainus bin Chahim Zos, Hakano. So because he deceived, Yehuda deceived the father by using that verb, using that expression, so later on he suffered when she used that expression. She said, Hakano, and then he had to humiliate himself in public. He had to say, I'm the one who made her pregnant. They had a whole court case against her, they're ready to give her the death penalty. And then the judge, Yehuda, says in the middle, oh, I'm the one who sinned with her. I'm the one who's responsible for the whole thing. So that's what the Gemara says. Amar Abchama Rab Chanina, comment on that verb. Ba'ake bisali aviv. Yehuda notified the father by using the verb hakano. Ba'ake bisruhu. And that's how they bopped him over the head later. They told him, hakano lemiachasem esapsilim ha'eli. You're the judge over here. And then he had to humiliate himself. He had to embarrass himself by saying he was the one. Ba'ake bisali aviv. He said, Hakanada me. Hakanada me again. Hakson is Binchahi. And then Bahaka Bisruhu later on this occasion. Hakabisru, Hakanada me. Yeah. What's Noah? Noah is Ein Noah Loshem Bakasha. They're pleading with him. Omer Lei, Tomer is pleading with Yehuda. Bevakashim Imcha, Hakam Pnei Baracha. Admit in public that you're the one who made me pregnant. Vatalam Einachem Emeni. Don't let them give me the death penalty. He was the one who told what was the nor there? I don't know. Why does it say nor over there? The Gemara just explained why it says nor over here. I don't know. Why does it say nor by that? I don't know. So then the Gemara says, Vayaka Yehuda. Yehuda recognized that this is the Chesemeth and Psilim and Matav. Vayam Atzot Kemimani. He says, yeah, she's innocent. I'm the one who made her pregnant. What does it mean, tzotka mimeni? He admits in public that, wow, everybody's listening to this whole case. All the whole community is there, and then he admits in public he's the one, because he didn't want her to die. He didn't want to cause the death of his daughter-in-law. Hayna dam rav chana ba bizna rav shim chasida. The contrast between Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef, shekir Hashem shemayim ha-seser, the Eishes Potiphar wanted to sin with Yosef. So he was able to control his feelings. Apparently she was a good-looking woman. He was able to control himself and he didn't sin. So he was Mekad Hashem Shemayim Baseser. So he was Zechel Asif Lo Isachas Mishmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His name originally was Yosef, and then his name was changed to Yehosef, with a hey. So one hey was added from the Yud Kei Vav Kei, from the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asif Lo Isachas Mishmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tichsiv Eres Behi Yosef Samo. Rabbi Yehuda Shekir Hashem Shemayim Befahesyeh, he admitted in public that he was the one who made the daughter-in-law pregnant. He was Zechavinikir Kula Shmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehuda has Yud Kei Vav Kei, just has the Dalet stuck in there. So he was on a higher level of honesty.
Yeah, but Lemaise, he had the beer and Yosef didn't have
it. An Akhanami?
Yes. And yet he was on a higher level.
He was
comfortable.
Okay.
He also had the name before the...
Yes. I don't know. The Rambam starts off Hilchas Ishus with this story. He says if he wants to be mezana with her, it's hetagomer. And his mom is using the phrase, the terminology from Tomer and Yehuda. And if he wants to marry her, he can marry her. He can be mekadosh b'biya, and he doesn't need any aidin. Beino lebeino, he doesn't need any aidis l'kim adam. After matan Torah, all the dinim change. There's no longer any prostitutes, and now you need Eidus L'Kimadov. It's not only Kiddusha Bia, Kiddusha Kesef Ashtar Obia. That's how the Rambam starts off Hilchas Ishus with this story. The Koyde Matan Torah, this was legitimate. Yeah. So the Gemara says that he admitted, the Pasuk says he admitted that he was the one who made her pregnant. Once Yehuda admitted the Omar Tzot Kamimeni, Yotza Basko Vyoma, Tohi Tzalta Tomer Shnei Baneho, Minho Ur, you saved your daughter in law with the two, she was pregnant with twins. You saved them from getting burnt by the fire, Minho Ur. Chayecho, I promise you, Shani Matzel Bischusra, Gimel Mi Banecha, Minho Ur, three of your descendants will be spared from the fire, they won't be burned. Manino Chanan Mishol Vazaria, that Shedrech Meshach and Avednego, the way they called them in Bovel, by their nicknames, and they threw them into a furnace of fire, and the fire didn't, it says that their begodim were a little bit singed, but they were not burnt. So that the Gemara attributes it, this, it was in the schus, that the elder Zayde Yehuda saved the life of the three people. Then the Gemara has a comment. How does he know Tzotka Mimeni? She's a righteous woman, I'm the one who made her pregnant. Just like she was a prostitute and she slept with him, maybe she slept with other people. Maybe someone else is the father of the baby. I don't know. It's a question. It's a good question. That's what this Gemara seems like it says. There are other Gemaras that don't seem to say like that. It had nothing to do with Yehuda. But this Gemara attributes it. The Baskol came out and said it's in the schus of Yehuda. I don't know. So the Gemara raised the question, Mino Yoda, how does he know that he is the father of the twins? Maybe she was acting like a prostitute with other people. Maybe someone else is the father. He knows they had an affair with her. He does not know he's the father. So the Gemara says, no. Yehuda said, Tzotka. The woman is telling the truth. I had an affair with her. And the Baskol said, Mimeni. The Baskol said, and Mimeni doesn't mean she's pregnant from Yehuda. Mimeni means from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baskol is speaking the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mimena Yotzu Kivushim, the secrets, this was one of the secrets of the world. The Rebbe Shlom wanted David HaMelech to be born from this union, to be from Tomer in Yehuda. So the Baskal came out and said, Mimena Yotzu Kivushim. This is part of the secrets of the way the Rebbe Shlom runs the world from behind the scenes. And then the Gemara quotes the comment that the father-in-law made the name of the son-in-law, that Yosef Odle Data doesn't mean that he didn't live with her anymore. Fakeret, he continued to live with her. That's like Ibum. After the Yavam is Miyabim, the Yavama, Kivish Yibman, Nasus Loki Ishtai. Yeah. So how did we get all involved in all of this? I already forgot where we started. I already forgot how everything started. Let's see, there was a Brisa before. Avshalom is the next comment in the Mishnah, yeah. I already forgot how we got involved in the first place. Hakano, okay. Maybe that's it. Oh, before. The Mishnah spoke about Shimshon. Shimshon halach acharenov, and then he was punished plishtim nikrasenov. So the Gemara had a steer between the psukim, timnos. By Yerich Shimshon timnos, and by Tomer says in Enechach oile timnosa. There was a steer where the timnos, you have to go up, it's on top of the mountain, or you go down. So once they were speaking about that steer, so they gave a few suggestions how to answer the steer. Once they were speaking about oile timnosa, so they commented on the whole parsha. Yeah, how did we eat the eshel? How did that come in? We eat the eshel by Avram Avinu. I'm not sure. What's the hemshech over there? I don't know. Pesach Einayim. Everyone used to visit by him. Everyone visited by Avraham Avinu, so they quoted that pasuk. Eat the Eishel. Could be that that's the Hemshech. Now the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit Avshalom. That the Mishnah says Avshalom is Goy Bisari, had very long hair. He was an Ozerilo. He only took a haircut once a year. Achas Yud Beischer had very long hair. And he was punished. He was very proud of his hair. Vichanitla b'saira. Then when he got caught, he was riding on a donkey or whatever. I forgot already. And the donkey kept on running, and he got caught in his hair on the branch. And then they threw 10 spears in his heart, and he got killed. So he was punished. Midu k'negin midu. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Avshalom b'saira morad. He sinned with his hair. Shenema. Uki Avshalom lahoya ish yifei toyar. He was extremely good looking. And he was very proud of it, that he was so good looking. When he used to shave off, when he used to take a haircut once a year, means once every Yud Beis Chodesh, once a year, he had so much hair, the Gilcha, he shaved it off, and he waited, it was Masayim Shkolim Be'Evin HaMelech. Whoa, 200 Shkolim. What does it mean 200 Shkolim? Shekel is an amount of money. So what do you mean, shkolim? Weight. So what do you mean, be'evin ha-melech? Moses Tano, evin shan shid veri v'an shid tzipori shoklim bo. Apparently in the days of the Tanoim, they still had those kind of avadim. They used to use it for a weight. So it doesn't necessarily mean the shekel, a shekel for a coin. It means the shekel that they had in tveri and tzipori. Otherwise, it's a wild. It weighed 200 pounds or something. How can it be? A person doesn't have so much here. Means it corresponded to 200 little pebbles. Okay.
They
just take the money. Okay. So the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah. Because he sinned with his hair. He's very proud of his hair. Such a good looking guy. So handsome. Fich nitle b'sara. That's what happened. Shenemar. Reikar Avshalom lifnei avdei David. Avshalom rochev ala peret. He was riding on a mule. Vayova peret tachas shevach o'ela hagdoilo. The mule ran under a tree. Vayochas Rosha Ba'elo, and his hair got caught. Not Rosha, Seir Rosha, huh? Seir Rosha. Vayachzak Rosha Ba'elo. His hair got caught in the branch, and he and the parrot kept on going. And he was suspended in midair because he was hanging from his hair on the branch. Perashatachtav Ora, and the mule kept on going. He was hanging in the air, and then they threw the 10 spears in his heart. So the Gemara says he grabbed, it's a very uncomfortable situation, so he grabbed his sword. Avshalom grabbed his own sword. Shokol sapsira boy lemipske. He wanted to cut off the hair. He's a Nazir, he's not allowed to cut off his hair, but for pikuach nefesh, So he's allowed to cut it off. So he wanted to cut off the hair. Taught by Rabbi Shmuel, but also Nifkal Shol Mitachtov. At that time that he was trying to save his life, he got so scared, he got so petrified, he saw as if Gehenim opened up under him, and he didn't have the ability to use the sword to cut off his hair. He was so scared, he couldn't save his life. David HaMelech heard that his son was just killed. And even though this is the son, this tzatzka of a son, wanted to kill the father. He tried to kill his father, but a son is a son. The son tries to kill the father, but the father loves the children. Vayirgas HaMelech, he was all oifgerekt. Vayala Lagreas HaShar, went onto the rooftop. Vayevk, and David HaMelech is crying. Vekoamar Belechto, he says, B'ni Avshalom, B'ni Midi Avshalom, Yitin Musi, Ani Tachtecha Halavaya, I should die instead of you. Avshalom, B'ni B'ni. Vamelech, Loat Espanov, David HaMelech covered his face. Vayizga HaMelech Kogol, B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni B'ni. He says 8 times the word bini. So the Gemara says, what is this all about? Repeating the word 8 times. Hani tamanya zimni bini lama. Why does he say 8 times bini? So the Gemara says, this Avshalom deserved to go into all the Shiva Meduri Gehenim. He deserved to go in the Shol Tachtis. The Gehenim was psuchala tachtov to scare him so much that he shouldn't be able to save his life by cutting his hair off with the sword. So David HaMelech screams out to Ribbono Shel Olam praying, bini, bini, 8 times. Shiva, the 7 times Daskim Shiva Meduri Gehenim, he's praying to Derech Tfilas, praying to Rabban Shalom, don't let him go to Gehenim. The Edoch, and what's the 8th time that he refers to him as Bini, also davening, Rika, the army, the Korvesha, the Gabi Gufe. When they killed him, so his head was cut off from the rest of his body. So that's a terrible bizoyan. You have the head cut off from the body. So one version has it, one tradition has it, he offered a tefillah that the 2 parts of the body should be joined together. The korev reisha legabi gufe shouldn't be such a bizoyan ames. Because the army, the aiseli al medasi, he prayed to bring his son to Olam Haba. So that's what Tosis says, the kasha, the bottom Tosis has the kasha. We have the practice that children say kaddish for parents. But if a child dies, it doesn't make sense that the parent should say kaddish for the child. Because the Gemara says, Tosis quotes from Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Dalet. Children and grandchildren are descendants from their parents or their ancestors, so they're an extension of the parent. So any mitzvah semaisim tovim that the children do is farechen tazuschus for the father, for the grandfather. So that's what the Beis Yosef quotes, this long passage from the Zohar in the end of Yeredeya, that Rabbi Akiva saw somebody suffering in Gehenim. And then he understood that if the child will say Kaddish, so the father will be spared from Gehenna. So why? Because any mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim that the children do is varechent has his chus for the father, because the children are an extension of the father. But the father should say Kaddish, it should be varechent. Father should give a lot of tzedakah after the son dies, and he should keep on davening for an amen and do mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim. It's not going to help. The father is not an extension of the son. The children and the grandchildren are extensions of the father and the grandfather. It makes sense that they should say Kaddish. So the Gemara says, Bro mizaka abo, abo loy mizaka bro. Whatever mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim the father does will not be farechen tazizchus for the son. The Gemara quotes Psukim. So what does it help over here? How could David HaMelech accomplish that the asya le'alma de'osi? So Tosfos says that Gemara means just the father is going to say Kaddish and do mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, and give tzedakah. But if he davens, so tefillah is a different story. If a person I can daven for a stranger also. So sometimes my prayers will be answered. That's what Tosfos says.
So if why does the parent say Kaddish for, let's say, a child?
They don't say Kaddish.
They don't say Kaddish.
No, you only say Kaddish. You only say Kaddish, a descendant says Kaddish. If a person davens for an amit, so then he says the Kaddish. No. I think it's a mistake. The meaning only is that the children are grandchildren. Grandchildren say Kaddish. Unless the parents are touchy, so they tell them they don't want them to say Kaddish. But they shouldn't be touchy.
What's this? Where's the asking if he should be, or he did? Come up with 7.
Sounds like he succeeded in getting him out of the Shiva Meduri.
And on my boat, just because his father
died with
him?
I don't know.
If a child doesn't have any children, no one says Kaddish for him?
Yeah. I think so.
That's a
minute. You can ask some stranger, but the father saying Kaddish is not better than a stranger saying Kaddish. It says in Shulchan Aruch, when someone dies, that's not better than to say Kaddish. He asks the Shamus and the Shul to say Kaddish. So the father can say like a stranger, but it's not a special yichus. It's not better off if the father says Kaddish as opposed to anybody else. If the descendant says Kaddish, that's a mila, that's a brom zaka abu. But the father saying Kaddish, same as any other stranger. Also, yeah, also not, yeah. Unless there's no one to say Kaddish, instead of it's just the same as a stranger saying Kaddish. Yeah. Then the worst commenting on the psukim there in Shmuel. Avshalom lokach, it doesn't say what he took. Avshalom lokach, v'yatzol b'chayov, and he established the yad Avshalom. Yeah, frekdig ma, my lokach, what does it mean? Avshalom, what did he take? Avish lokish, shalokach mekach rali atzma. It's, how do you say in Yiddish? It's a eingehandel mafter. How does the expression go? It's a eingehandel, he got himself into a mess. Lokach means Avshalom got himself into a mess. So what did he do? And the pasuk said he made a Yad Avshalom, a memorial. Yeah. What did he do? Matzeves Hashem be'Emek HaMelech. What is this Emek HaMelech? What is it all about? So the Gemara gives an interpretation. Emek is an allusion. Amar Amchanina Bar Papa be'Eitz Hamukah Shal Malkah Shal Olam. The Melech is the Rebbeinu Shalom, who is the King Melech Olam, and the Emek HaMelech is the Eitz Hamukah. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam's plan and history was realized and fulfilled. D'chsiv, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had already said, "Hidini mekim alecha roa mi beisecho." The Rebbeinu Shel Olam had already told David HaMelech that he's going to have tzaris from someone in his family. So now Avshalom fulfilled that haftocha that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had said years before. It's like megaglam schus like dezaka v'chayva dechay. When the Baruch Shalom has some dirty work to be done in this world, so he'll see to it that a Rosha will do the dirty work. When he wants some good Hatzalah to take place, a Yeshua Hatzalah, wonderful thing, so the Baruch Shalom will see to it that a Tzaddik will be chosen to be the Shliach. See here, Avshalom was the Shliach Leroa to fulfill the Emek HaMelech, the Eitzah HaMukah Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Malkah Shal Olam. Then the Gemara says a similar interpretation he gave on another pasuk. Kayetzib dover atoema by shalchehu me'emek chevron. Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to go visit the brothers me'emek chevron. What do you mean chevron is on top of a mountain? Hare chevron. Why is it called emek? It doesn't mean the valley of chevron. It means amachanin about papa be'etz amuka shalot tzadi shikove bechevron. Chevron is here. The word melech is a reference to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Eitz Amukah of the Melech means that the Rebbeinu Shalom had already said years before, "Hidini mekim alecha rami beisecha." You're going to have tzaris. Someone in your family, his son, is going to give David a hard time. And there, Emek Chevron. Chevron is a reference to Avram Avinu, who is buried in Chevron. And Emek is the Eitz Amukah shelos tzadik. What does that mean? Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, "There will be a galus." So the galus began when Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to the brothers, then the brothers sold him, and then he saved the whole Middle East from the famine, and then they all came down to Mitzrayim. So the whole story was orchestrated. The whole sending of Yosef and the brothers selling him and everything, this was all in order to fulfill the nevuah that the Rebbeinu Shalom had already given Avraham Avinu years before, Yodor Teda, Kiger Yezaracho. Then the Gemara has a stir in the Psukim. The Pasuk says Avshalom didn't have any children. Why did he need a matzeves? He wanted a memorial. He knows everybody's going to die. He's not going to have any descendants. I think they claim that it's nearby. I don't know.
It's right in the valley there.
Yeah. The pasuk in Tanakh calls this Yad Avshalom. This matzeva that he made was called Yad Avshalom. So the Gemara has a stira. Pasuk says Kiyama Ein Li Bein. He says, have no children, have no descendants. So that's why he wants to have a matzeves. Yad Avshalom. So what do you mean, Ein Lo Bein V'lo Hava Lo Bon? He had no children. He needed a matzeves that he should be remembered. V'aksiv. V'yivol de Avshalom, shlosh abonim v'pasach. He had four children. He had three sons and a daughter. And for the Gemara, no, he knew that they were all going to die because he did a terrible avera. Amar Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, shlohoy lo bein hogan. One interpretation is, he knows none of his children are going to take over the kingdom, so they're not going to go down in history. You're going to have children, but not going to go down in history. He wants to be world famous, That's why he established the Matzeves Zikoron. The Arab Shalom people should remember it. Want to go on our history. And the second shot is he knew that he had done a terrible Avera because of which all of his children are going to die. By the time he's going to die, not going to have any children. Now he had four children. We have a tradition called if I burn down someone else's farm, his children will die. The Ihu, that's exactly what he did. Avshalom did this terrible act. Kalye lid the Yoav. He caused the whole farm of Yoav to be burned. Avshalom told his servants, Ruchel Kasev al Yadi, take a look, here's a field that belongs to Yoav. Velo Shamsar, Mukhub Hatzisu Baish. Go burn down his whole field. They listened to him and they burnt it down. So the Gemara says, Rav Chisa suggests he knew he was going to be punished. He knew that all of his four children are going to die. And he knew he wouldn't have any children. Not he wouldn't go down history. He wouldn't have any descendants. That's why he wanted to have a matzeva. That's why he wanted to make the Yad of Shom.
He had nevi'ah?
I don't know. Maybe it means that he already done it. They already died. I don't know. I don't know. Then the Gemara is continuing to comment on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Rabbanu Shalom gives Mida Kenegan Mida, that Shimshon sinned with his eyes, that's why he was punished with his eyes, Avshalom sinned with his hair. He was very good looking, and he was always showing off with the hair, that's why he was later on that caused him to die. And then it says, the inyan hatoiva, the mida kineged mida is not only for Peronis, it's l'toiva as well. Miriam hemtina l'moshe shah achas. It says when Moshe Rabbeinu is put in the basket and he was floating in the river there, so his sister Miriam was watching on the side. So how long did she watch? The Mishnah says shah achas. Shachas doesn't mean 60 minutes. Tosis says it's either a quarter of an hour, half an hour, a third of an hour. Shachas means a while, a very short period of time. Until Baspara came and she found the basket and she took the little baby. So because she waited for Moshe Rabbeinu, Shachas, a very short period of time, that's why Lefichach Nisakula Yisrael Zayin Yomim Bamidbar. That's why when she became a Mitzarah, so they stopped traveling. The whole time in the Midbar they were traveling. So they waited 7 days until she got cured. So the Mishnah says that's a mida keneged mida. So the Gemara frek takasha, where's the tzustel? Midomi. Frek the Gemara hasam chadu shay tocha shiva yoyme. It's not the same. They waited for her 7 days till she got cured. She was only shoachas, means a short period of time, doesn't mean an hour. The Tosis writes on this daf Miriam, it wasn't an hour. It was much less than an hour. Amar Abai Abai says there's a misprint in the Mishnah. Ema zogazoi. The Mishnah should read Linya Natoiva Einakein. Linya Puranis is Takamida Kenegan Mida. Shimshon sinned with his eyes. He was punished with the eyes. And Avshalom sinned with his hair. He was punished with the hair. When it comes to Mida Toiva, it's not going to be Mida Kenegan Mida. It's going to be Kama Vakama. It's going to be 500 times more. Mida Toiva Maruda Mida Puranis 500 times more. So Abai rereads the Mishnah. Omali Rava, a lot of times in Shas they have like this. Abai says a misprint. Rava says, how can it be a misprint? What do you mean? They recited Mishnah's Baal Peh, and maybe someone made a mistake, a slight mistake. But not the whole sentence is kakait. How can it be? Omali Rava, Havachin Lin Yenatoivak Tani. How can you Dreifa Keret? Avalin Yenatoivak Einakein Snatza. You're rereading, you're correcting, changing the whole text in the Mishnah. Elam Rava, no, Hachik Tani. Chin Lin Yenatoivak the Bosa Mida. It's Mida, Kenegan Mida. She did a schus that she waited, so she was rewarded that Klal Yisrael waited. But it's not going to be me, the Kenegan me, the waiting half an hour, because she waited half an hour. It's going to be Meruba 500 times more. They're going to wait for her 7 days. But it's me, the Kenegan me, in the same area of waiting. Me, the Kenegan me, the Meruba, many times more. Then the more comments on the Pasuk, when she was waiting to protect her little brother, so Rabbi Yitzchak has a comment. Rabbi Yitzchak, Pasuk is a kul al shem Ashchina nema. Every word in the Pasuk means that the Shechina was watching over Moshe Rabbeinu as a little baby and protecting him. The simple translation is that she, the sister, not the Shechina, she, the sister, Miriam, was watching over the baby. So the Gemara says, we have a Pasuk in Tanakh with the word, the verb, l'hisyatzev, is used in connection with the Rabbanu Shalom. Achoso is also used in connection with the Rabbanu Shalom. Pashab Shat Miriam, the sister of Moshe, was looking after the baby. So the Gemara gives an additional connotation. Achosa is a reference to the Rabbanu Shalom. As it says, Amor lo chachma achosiya. And the chachma comes from the Rabbanu Shalom. All chachma comes from the Rabbanu Shalom. That's how Rashi quotes from Mishlei chapter Bez, Ki Hashem yitn chachma, the piv das is vuna. The Rabbanu Shalom is the source of all of chachma. So Amor lo chachma achosiya, so the Shechina is sometimes referred to as achosa. As about tisatz v'achosa meirachok. The word meirachok is a reference to the Shechina also. Meirachak Hashem nireli. And that's the Haftarah for Yom Kippur, I think. Meirachak Hashem, from the distance, I envision the Rabbanu Shalom. So the word Meirachak also refers to the Shechina. L'dei amai yasalo, how do you say it? L'das, L'das, so L'das also refers to the Shechina. Kikel deos Hashem, then it says, ma yasalo, ma, d'chsev ma Hashem l'kech shalom imach. Then it said, yeyose, d'chsev ki lo yas Hashem l'kim dovar. The Rabbanu Shalom is not going to do anything unless he notifies the Nevi'im, so they'll know what he's doing. And then the word lo, yasamal, yasalo, v'yikru lo Hashem shalom. So the Gemara says that every word in the Pasuk, the simple reading of the Pasuk means the sister Miriam was looking after her younger brother, Moshe, and nothing wrong should happen to him. And the additional level of interpretation, the connotation of all the words in the Pasuk are that the Shechina was protecting him. The Rabbanu Shalom was looking out for him. And once the Gemara speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, so they start talking about the Golas Mitzrayim. Okay. We'll be there next week. We'll continue. We have a mitzvah in the Parshas HaShavua, the mitzvah of Tzaras, that the person who thinks he has a Nega Tzaras is supposed to come to the Kohen, and the Kohen is supposed to paskin on a Nega Tzaras. So it's a shaila that the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnayis and the Goyim raises the question, how come we don't observe this mitzvah b'zman hazeh? It's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. He's supposed to present the shayla, the nega tzara shayla to the kohen. He's supposed to paskin tamei atohar. So one suggestion they give is that we don't have any kohanim miuchosim as manazeh. The pasuk says in Ezra when they came back and they rebuilt the second base on Migdash, so they asked, who has a ksav yichas? Whoever is only kohanim chazaka, they were assumed for the last 7 years in Golas Bavel. They were assumed to be Kohanim, they would get the first Aliyah, and they would duch, and they would perform Pidyon Aben, but that's only Kohanim Chazokah. Whoever doesn't have a Ksav Yichas, they didn't permit them to be Makar of Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk says, "Bikshu Ksavim HaMasyachsim Lo Matzo, and go alumin HaKuhuna." They were rejected from Kuhuna. We must have spoken up to Hirsch Kalashah said that the Pashto says that it's only a Chumra Midirabonim. Ikar Adin Deraisa Kohanim Chazokah are bona fide Kohanim. And it's a chumrah mid the rabbanon. That's why he said, if you're the Reb Tzvi Hirschkalish, it came up with the Chiddush, if you build a Beis HaMikdash today, and there simply will not be sufficient kohanim to be makar of karbonis, so we will fabeg on this chumrah mid the rabbanon. We will allow kohanim chazaka to be makar of karbonis, because mikar adin derais, kohanim chazaka, perfect kohanim. This was his suggestion. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Kivega. So he sent his whole kuntris, Drishas Tzion. He sent the whole country to Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega was maskim. Then Rabbi Kivega sent it to his son-in-law, to the Chassam Sefer. Chassam Sefer was also maskim. So that was a turning point in history. From that time on, till the days of Rabbi Kivega and the Tzvi Hirschkalishah, the earlier Achrenim, the Shev Yankee with the Knesset Yecheskel, with all the Achrenim that we don't use anymore. Nobody even looks in those spurn anymore. So they all had this funny idea that Kohanim is Manazar, all Safik Kohanim. They're not Vada Kohanim, they're Safik Kohanim. And all kinds of coolers came out from that. Since they're not Vada, Sufik, so people came up with coolers. So he said, it's not true. The Vada Kohanim, the fact we don't permit them to be Makar Kohanim, it's only a Chumer Midrabanan. If there are enough Kohanim to run the Beis HaMikdash, you should only permit Kohanim Miyuchasim to do Avoida, Kohanim Chazaka shouldn't. But if you don't have enough Kohanim, then you don't have to observe this Chumer Midrabanan. So some Achranim came up, the first, the Pharisee Sola, Mishnayis Nigoyim quotes, he corresponded with Rebbe Kivega. He was also at the same time as Rebbe Kivega. Every so often, he corresponded with Rebbe Kivega. They both lived in Germany at the same time. So some Gedolim came up with an Einfall, just like you need for the purpose of Hakrovas Karbonas, you require Kohanim Yuchasim, so too, with respect to Rias Negoim, you have to adopt Kohanim Yuchasim. A difficult Chumra Mehechetese. Why should...
How come Pidyon Aben and not Machmer?
Yeah, that they never introduced the Chumra. Only for Hakrovas Karbonis. So why should you extend it from Hakrovas Karbonis to the Negoim? It doesn't. It's Hashverah Chumra.
In Chutzlach, Rebbe, there's both
Rias Negoim? There is Rias Negoim.
This would be implied in Chutzlach too.
Yeah. Nige Batim, the Mishnah says, only Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says nigei batim is only kisavay al haaretz. But nigei aguf, that's even a chutzlars. So other rachmanim suggest a different thing. If the person will be declared by a kohen as a metzora, so how's he going to krich out of it? So let's say the negatzaras will heal. So then the healing, in order to be metar, you have to bring karbonis. So bisman shein beis hamigdash kaim, you can bring the karbonis. So that's what other gedolim say, that we don't have a mitzvah to put the person into a predicament, not that it's not wise. We do mitzvahs even if it's not wise. The Bosham wants us to do the mitzvah, we do. But they say al pi din, there's no mitzvah to put the person into a state of tumas negoim if we know now we have no way to pull him out. If he's going to cure, if the negat saraz is going to cure, and the psukim say that it can heal. And we know today we don't have a beis hamikdash, so there's no way to straighten it out. You can't bring the karbonis. So the mitzvah to put him in the state of mitzvah in the first place doesn't apply.
Like Saita.
Yeah, because you have no way to resolve the issue. Yeah, the tumas tzaras is in a certain sense more chomer than the others. A mitzvah is not allowed to enter any of the ayoras hamakof is chomer oshim shur benun. If he enters Yerushalayim, he gets malchus. If he enters the other ayoras hamakof is chomer, is a machlekes harishani whether he gets malchus. That's only an iseresei. But for sure, all the Tanaim agree he's not allowed to enter any of the ayoras hamakof is chomer. A Tommy Mace is allowed to enter Yerushalayim, is allowed to enter Ayaros HaMakav Eschaim. So in this sense, it's much more chomer than the other Tmein. But it's in a certain sense so different from the others. A Metzora doesn't become Tommy automatically. Everybody else, a woman is a Nida, man is a Zava, Zava, Yoledis. It happens by itself. Whatever happens, person touches a Mace, bingo, he becomes Tommy. Touches a dead chariot, he becomes Tommy. Here, he has the Negat Saras. 100% Vada has the Negat Saras. Kozman, you don't have a kohen who declares that he's Tomei, so he doesn't have the Tumah. And we still, the Rambam writes, and we still call the Tumah Yotzal Migufa. There are two types of Tumah. There's Tumas Mago, I touched the mace, or I came in contact with a person who's Tomei. I touched the person who touched the mace. I touched the person who's a Zav. I touched the Yoledis, I become Tomei. The Tumah is transmitted. And then you have Tumah Yotzal Migufa, the Tumah develops in my body. So Tumah Yotzal Migufa is a category that's more common than Tumas Mago. It's not muta betzibah. Only tumas maga is muta betzima. Tumah yatzal megufa is not muta betzima. But how can you call the tumah yatzal megufa? He has the negat saras, and Kozman the coin doesn't declare that he's tameh. He's not tameh. So the Rambam points out this as surprising. We consider it tumah yatzal megufa, a higher level of tumah, higher than tameh mason, but he's only tameh if the coin declares him. A lot of the dinam of tumah. The Gemara says a klal isim mituma lo yafina. The Gemara has in Perek Mitzvus Chalitza towards the end of Yivamis. If you have a pasuk by tuma, you can't learn out anything isa the hetter from tuma. So Rashi said because all the laws of tuma achidish, kul achidish. It doesn't always fit into a system, into a pattern. The Tumas Taras is a mechudish digazach. The Chafetz Chaim writes in one of his swarm. He writes so much about lashon hara. He writes a lot of swarm about lashon hara. So one of the swarm he writes that. Why don't we have the mitzvah of Rias Negoim Mizmana Zeh? Because the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't, the whole Tumas Taras is a miraculous thing. It's not B'derech HaTeva. So the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't cause it Mizmana Zeh. I don't know, is that true? People don't have a Negat Saras. I think if we ask a skin doctor, Ms. Thomas, they'll know that some of the discolorations on the body correspond to a Negat Saras. I don't know. The Chafetz Chaim writes that we don't have the mitzvah of Nigin Rias Negoim is Manazet because the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't cause these miracles to occur. The whole Negat Saras is a miraculous thing, and it doesn't happen as Manazet. But it's usually assumed that it does happen as Manazet, and we have other reasons why we don't do the Rias Negoim.